Hey nerds, that was a bad way to start. It's Sam Taunton here, jumping in before the episode of The Good Stuff. I've never done one of these before, but I'm loving it. Complete control. Normally Tom edits, so I have no control over this. I just wanted to jump on before this episode. Very funny episode, by the way, with Lauren Bonner. Tom drags his feet, as usual, but what do you expect? To say, I'm doing some stand-up shows, my one-hour show, at the Sydney Comedy Festival, May 5th to the 9th. And if you wanted to come along, send me a message on anywhere, email, social media, and I'll give you a discount code. It's like $8 or $10 off a ticket. It's like a fair bit, cause just to say thanks for listening to the podcast or whatever. And if you wanted to come along, it would be real cool. Or come and pay full price. Like, that would be fine. That'd be better for me, really. But yeah, or you don't have to come along at all. I just thought I would mention that in case you wanted to come along May 5th to the 9th. If not, enjoy this terrific episode. I think we start talking about ghosts at one point, and I've never been more hooked on anything. Okay, see ya.
A podcast has changed my life.
Dan, it's lovely to meet you.
Yes, nice to be met.
Come on, sit down, tuck in.
This is not funny.
I watch Peter Rabbit.
Oh yeah,
I've got plenty.
Okay,
that's
okay.
Have you seen it?
Peter Rabbit, no.
Is it a new film?
No, the new one's coming out. I watched Peter Rabbit 1 because I auditioned for Peter Rabbit 2.
Auditioned? Playing what role? the rabbit? I can see that.
No, I would have loved to have played one of the rabbits. No, I was playing a marketing executive on Skype from Australia.
Okay, that really...
As in the film.
In the film,
you were in Skype,
yeah.
Or during the audition process, and you weren't able to distinguish between what was the audition. I was playing a man who, like, was in a waiting room and then had to walk in, and then they said to go first.
Pretty much, yeah, it was a very much like you act life becoming art type situation.
Peter Rabbit too.
Yeah. But I haven't heard back, and it's been filmed, so I think I didn't get it.
Yeah, maybe not. I wonder who got the gig, do you know?
Would have been another... Australian.
It would.
Because it was filmed here at Fox. The first one was as well. Anyway, I watched the first one.
And
I loved
one,
it. That's all I wanted to say.
The first one was like from recently, or was like an 80s thing?
No. It's like Ewan
McGregor?
4 years ago.
Is Ewan McGregor in it?
No.
Is
Rose
in the
Byrne
new one?
Is in it.
I'm picturing Ewan McGregor and I'm thinking Paddington.
Different.
Is Ewan McGregor in Paddington?
I hope so.
Because I am a big Paddington fan.
Ewan McGregor in it?
I feel like he's the main guy and he's the old guy, and then Paddington Bear comes back to remind him of his childhood. I haven't seen that either.
McGregor
I can't stress enough how four children
dirt bikes
these movies
one.
Are.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not a big kids movie
Peter
fan.
Rabbit you'll get a kick out of.
It does. It would be cute. It would be charming.
He's naughty. They do too many dances.
Yeah.
But did they overlook
that's your review.
They
too much dancing.
He's too chill because the angry guy whose house it is, like... killed his dad and popped him in a pie and ate him. And he's too chill about all of that. Like, he's angry. That is the whole point. He's angry.
Yeah,
but like
from what
he's not distraught.
Peter Rabbit is... I was thinking it was something in the Winnie the Pooh universe.
He seems adjacent, doesn't he?
No,
he
does. Is it Beatrix?
So is it just from that like, little tale
from
about
the plates?
You go...
Yeah.
I definitely had Peter. That's
we know
I
the
think,
plates.
No, yeah. But I do think... I think it's, like, a series of stories because Peter Rabbit's up to no good and he's always trying to get...
That's
their,
how
their
far
evil
down the
guy.
Rabbit hole,
but they did. They did plates.
They did plates. You know, Bunnikins, plates, the mugs...
Yeah,
that's
I had them as a child.
Big four,
yeah.
I reckon, in the merchandise department. Then they thought, well, let's make a film of this.
Oh, my God.
That's
what
you
about
need
it.
These days, a successful plate, and you're like, we could get a screenplay.
Absolutely.
But it, no, to be fair, it's a big story.
Yeah, it's a thing. Beatrix Potter.
And Peter Rabbit, that's the
it's
name.
It's a bit too
that
short
doesn't leave
for
your
a
brain.
Film. It's like Humpty Dumpty
well,
being
get
a movie
they got
or
a second one going.
Exactly.
I know. I was on the ground level.
You do know that you didn't get it right. The enthusiasm you're allowed to drop at this stage.
It was bad.
Funny that you're still invested in the Peter Rabbit universe, even though it did reject you. I think let's read into that.
No,
well, I think
Lauren.
I'd watch it with a scathing eye.
But
if
it's
I got
the closest
rejected.
I've ever come to being part of a big.
What was the audition like?
I was very bad. I remember it going very poorly.
What was
I
like
didn't
the...
remember the lines.
Okay.
And I was quite emotional that day.
What do
kind
you
of
mean?
The nostalgia of childhood is combined with the pressure of a big audition.
I had smashed one of my favorite Peter Rabbit plates. No, I remember being just like having a bad mental health day that day.
Sure. Yeah.
And
stress?
Maybe stress.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe it all got too much, Tom.
Yeah, for sure.
And I remember going in and really not giving my best work.
Absolutely.
As in you felt a bit flat.
Very flat, yeah, and couldn't really focus.
There was another guest sitting in on the audition with you, and that was the black dog.
The black dog. The black dog.
I left. Yeah, I tried to leave the black dog in the waiting room. They said, "There's no one here to look after you. You've got to take him in with you."
I've got to bring this black dog into the room. All right.
Yeah. God, it was. Yeah. Anyway.
And what did you have to say?
I was like, "Hey, Peter." Oh no, not.
You were doing an American accent, and you're playing the Australian.
It's becoming quite apparent why I didn't get the thing. No, but I was like, "Peter, how's it going? Like, we've got some great ideas for you. This is what we're like." It was a marketing exec because I think the premise of the second one, and I was about to say, "Am I, you know, have I got limitations on what I can say?" But I'm not part of the project, so it's totally fine.
You were going to ask us,
oh my god,
whether we knew if there were limitations of what you, someone who, what do they call it? Embargo production.
Yeah,
if there was an embargo on me, I don't remember signing anything.
I wouldn't know. I'm not working on the film.
Totally. That because of they had decided the story of Peter Rabbit had gotten out. And they had decided to make a film. It was kind of like the when in Seinfeld they'd start making a TV show.
Yeah. Season 4. Meta.
Yeah, meta.
Oh, so it was, hang on. This is a fucking like fairy tale that goes for like 3 pages and they're making a second
one. It's a modern
one
take on it,
where
though.
It's about, but
it's a series of children's
books. It's a children's book. Yeah, I don't think, what are you talking about? It's just 3 pages.
I feel like it's one a lot thing of stories where he goes and steals the radishes and gets in trouble.
They made a movie about Beatrix Potter starring Renee Zellweger. Do you remember that? It was called like The Magnificent Miss Potter or something. Oh, yeah. I can see the poster. I don't know if I saw it, but.
God, okay.
Yeah, I know it exists.
So that's one level of meta.
So that's another level.
And then the second is like a fake universe, but in which we acknowledge that Peter Rabbit is a fictional character where they're pitching a film and it's a film about that.
No, they don't acknowledge it. He is real in that.
Oh.
He's a real rabbit.
Okay, that's key.
Because he does
that
talk.
That is true. That is a good way to do it because otherwise the movie would just be like, Peter Rabbit's fake, so it's just
we're going
to
make a movie.
And it's just about that. That's a documentary about the making of Peter Rabbit.
Yeah. It's like, okay, this is the green screen. This is where we film a lot of stuff.
The next level would be if someone made a film about this conversation.
Whoa.
Well, I can't see why they wouldn't.
Neither. I feel like you'd have to get that role.
Well, you were going to film that today.
Yeah, that would be crazy if you didn't get that role.
Yeah, that'd be embarrassing. Although I can think of some people that I might cast.
Anyway, you should watch it.
So it's when it comes out.
I'm just plugging
Peter Rabbit.
Yeah. Peter Rabbit too. I really liked the first one. I watched it with my mum. And we texted the next day and we were like, that was a great film,
wasn't
it?
That's nice. That's funny. You didn't get the role, but you're still kind of doing the PR run and the lead up to the film coming out.
Do you know what? Like, this is
podcast.
I'm doing the media circuit.
You got some interviews.
It's not a bad bit, actually. Just keep doing media circuit stuff for things you didn't get.
Yeah.
And then explain if you do get something. Sorry, I'm doing this bit where I only promote things I didn't get, so I'm actually not going to be able to do any promo for the thing that I did get.
Yeah, that is funny. People would think you're an artist.
Yeah.
And it would probably lead to you not getting more things.
I think I'd get something at this point. That would be like, I'll get something straight
if
up.
If there was a movie,
like, this guy's doing
process.
So much promo.
Surely.
Get him in. Like, he's doing it for free. Imagine what we'll do if we pay him.
Zero.
Then I flip it. Do zero.
Yeah.
That's while I'm here really as well, I just want to shout out as well. There's a series of our NRMA ads that I didn't get.
And what do you have to say about NRMA's services? How do you feel about
those?
I don't think I do, actually. I think any time my car's broken down, I haven't had roadside assist. Mm. And isn't that ironic?
Yeah. Because
it would be helpful, presumably, if you'd had it.
No, I know. But I think actually now I get my car serviced with like the Kmart Tire and Auto people.
Mm, me too.
Now known as My Car.
Oh, God.
They changed the name.
It's called My Car.
Well, Kmart not well known enough? Is that
I know. I don't know. But you get free roadside assist when you use them.
Well, who with, though? Kmart?
With them. I don't know.
So Lauren's taking a different track here. She started trying to promote the thing that she didn't get and then sidetracked and started promoting one of their competitors.
And they're quite genuinely promoting it, though, as well. Like, I don't think that was... I'm doing a bit of an act here, but she was like, in all seriousness, it's a great deal.
I just think when you go to a trusted chain, you've got a certain level of service and you can trust them that they're not going to overcharge you. As a woman...
And that's the other thing. As a woman, notorious for getting price gouged at the mechanics.
Yes.
And I'm always at the mechanic and I'm like, oh, I don't know. It sounds weird.
I just went recently because some guy came up the back of me.
Uh-oh.
Came on the back.
Yeah, exactly.
A guy came up
and then after that, I was in a car crash.
Yes.
He was just riding that high, got distracted.
That's actually,
I went to the mechanic. I'm like... Help.
Like, I've come on my back.
I've had these feelings before. It's like, I thought of myself as heterosexual, but I'm not sure. I mean, I think I enjoyed it. It was a bit overwhelming. I was a bit under the influence.
That is, honestly, I'm smiling so much. That is so funny.
I mean, you know, a bit of a switcheroo, never hurt anybody.
How did you go there?
Well, I immediately, because my father relatively recently sold me his car and I sold mine. He gave me like a discount on what he thought it was worth. So
I would
knows?
Hope so.
I mean, yeah, who knows?
Charge you over
what was actually. But then there was a problem, and I needed to immediately, and I needed to take it to get serviced.
Well, I think it's a bit crazy because one of the only rules my dad ever gave me in life was never sell a car to someone you own, and I think it's a great life.
You
rule.
Know? Do you mean?
Yeah, you know. Sorry, what did I say? You know.
No, you own. It's like, don't sell anything to your slaves. Sorry. It's kind of was implied there.
It was a different time.
You can't trust them. If you own them, they don't trust you. It makes sense, really.
That you know. So I don't know why I said it. I was just staring out the window, actually.
You were thinking about owning the car, presumably.
Maybe. Yeah, totally. Mm. Anyway, and I agree, because if something does go wrong, they can come back and talk to you.
Totally.
Yeah, and it's like, not my problem.
Totally.
It's not your problem.
Sold as is.
Well, it's not your problem. My father sold it to me. Yeah. That'd be weird if I was blaming
but
you.
But if you've got to go back to your dad. If you've got to go back to your dad.
The clutch is funny.
And you're like, Dad, yeah. And he's like, man, I was working fine when I had it.
I did have a weird thing. Well, first of all, just before he sold it to me, he said that there was an issue with it. But then he went and got it fixed, apparently. He asked me how it was going recently. And I did say, all right, but I had to get it serviced. But yeah, it's definitely not his problem. But yeah, I suppose all I'm regulating is how much enthusiasm I feel obliged to give him. But point is, he, in front of a few other family members as well, kind of referred to him having given the car to me, which isn't true. I paid thousands for it, so that was already a bit. But then the next day when I went and took it to a mechanic, I mentioned way too early that it was my dad's car, and kind of, I think he would have assumed that he gave it to me as well, which I feel like puts you in a woman category of knowledge about cars.
My God.
Of just like, it's been gift, like daddy's car, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's, I got overcharged, I reckon.
I popped up last time I popped up to the mechanic because my clutch was, I had a very heavy clutch in my car and I wanted it loosened. So I grabbed my.
You can do that?
Mm. Have you got a heavy clutch?
See,
you can adjust the.
That's a request that implies knowledge.
Yeah, it does.
Well, no, because I grew up like, you know, white trash families always have a lot of cars just at the front of. Like, there was always like five or six shit cars, none of them good in my house. And so. I just overheard a lot of stuff and got to know.
Like
I don't know how to fix any of it, but I just know all the different parts.
Yeah.
But I stole my housemate because he is like works with electricians or something. So he does have high vis and some work boots. So I grabbed those, popped them on when I went.
No,
to the,
whoa,
really?
When I dropped it off, and then I
was that quite cultural appropriation?
I think so. But also, he didn't know. He only charged me like. About $180, which is what I thought.
Your roommate, just for borrowing his clothes. Oh,
and he came on my back as well. No, for the clutch plate. And I think that helped. I think he saw
this
in high vis, and I think he was like.
This is a good like checkout segment, if that was still a show. Like you go to like a bunch.
Yeah, you test it.
And you just go the same person, but in. I suppose they'd remember you, but maybe if you left a month in between or something, and then like same guy, same word, same script, one tuxedo. One, high-vis.
Tuxedo.
Yeah.
High-vis one.
I mean, you got to go hard the other way.
Dropping off my 2006 Honda HR-V in a CR-V in a
tuxedo. This guy's insane. We need to give him a big discount because he's off his rocker.
I'm on my way to the Logies. So I need this clutch. It's too heavy for my dress shoes.
I think you've got to go high-vis first as well and then tux second, because if you go tux first and then come in high-vis a month later, they'll be like, you're the cunt from there with the tux. Like, I remember you. You're the only guy who ever comes with
the tux.
I think, though, if you're a mechanic now, you would be so weary of overcharging what people might, like, you know, exploiting people. Because I think word would get out now.
Google reviews.
Yeah, exactly. And even just, like, word of mouth, which is important, I think. Because it is, when you think about it, it's such a low act to, like, target like women or people that don't know things about cars?
No, but if there's a middle ground, and everyone can always need a bloody windows wiper,
wiper
replacement
blades,
or something like
the wiper,
little
tire
shit like that.
Rotation, how about that?
Exactly. Gun to the head, they can justify it.
You get your tires. Every time I'm going in, they're like, "You need to." But then again,
what does that mean?
It means because it's like
they're turning them around a bit.
Turning like my front tires were more.
That's the way they normally turn. What are they doing?
It's because my front tires were like more worn than my back tires or something. Like
yes.
That. So
they swap them around.
Or wheel alignment as well. I get
wheel
those
alignment's
a
big one though.
That is a big thing, and also I am very often driving into the curb, so I have no doubt
you hit the curb a lot.
I hit the curb a lot.
I hit it like I like reverse parking, and I just hit the curb because I know that's where the curb
is. Where
so this is the opposite of curb your enthusiasm. This is curb your
wrath. The curb. What were they fighting for? The curb?
They were like, don't hit the curb.
They're like, I'm a ratepayer. That's my curb, technically. That's all about curbs.
No, they weren't that, but that is a good point. No, just someone I was in the car with. I don't want to say their name.
Oh, okay.
They don't want to be mentioned on a podcast.
Say something that rhymes with it.
My girl friend. And she was like, you can't. She was like, you're a bad driver. And I'm like, I'm using the curb.
Yes.
To line myself up.
Sometimes I use traffic poles. To immediately stop.
Yeah, they
do
help you stop.
Every now and then, I think I've said that when I've hit another car very lightly.
Very
when I've been
lightly.
Backing, I'll be like, I'm using the other car.
Yeah.
It's like,
very
that's
lightly.
That's quite European to do that.
Yeah. In Italy, they just take the handbrakes off and the feet and you just like bounce around. And flow exactly. And it's the nature of it.
And then they get out of the car and then they kiss. And then
yeah, and they're like, I'm a moving your car.
Do you want to swap cars for a weekend? Maybe go together down to the beach?
I've never
fall
even,
in love.
When I've been in Europe, I've never seen. This so-called thing where they're like, people are just like, oh, you just reverse into the back, you pop forward, everyone's fine. And I was like, I didn't see any of that when I was there.
I saw a car parked halfway up a tree. I was on a bus and there were people walking and he did not slow down. Like, he was like, I'll kill you. I was like, this guy's going to kill
they're
someone.
They're crazy drivers there.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, you know, where places where everyone's like in Asia and stuff, they're like, they're crazy drivers, but somehow it's safer. It's like not. If
it's not safer.
You Google up road fertility.
No, you just don't hear, it's not on our news. When there's a fucking crash in Vietnam, you just don't
people
hear about
dying
it.
Every day on the road.
Yeah, and they're like, and it's fine that there's a baby on a motorbike, okay? Yeah. And it's actually fine. And I'm like, I guess it's fine because it's a necessity, but let's not pretend it's safe.
It's like, no, I guess it's fine because we don't care about them. It's what it is.
Yeah,
exactly. Because I was just on holiday and I don't know them personally.
Yeah, bad news.
Speaking of other countries, see the India COVID has taken them. Through the
That was on my list of topics that we'd want to broach.
I think we need to address
podcast.
It, Tom. We need to address it. Lauren, obviously you've prepared something about it.
I have a lot to say.
She thinks the numbers should be higher.
You want more people?
No, the numbers of maybe the doctors who are going in to help.
That's what number
I think we need to get higher.
That is true. We didn't clarify that. Thank you so much. Thanks for clarifying
thanks
that.
Thanks so much for having me.
I also
do you have a statement, Tom?
My statement is I think it's bad.
Wow.
But unsurprising. I think we were talking about this about a year ago.
Probably.
That somewhere like
us.
India.
Did something happen? Or like, because I have not
been.
Just
life
happened.
It's just life
happened,
a point where it's nuts.
It's just a steady kind of growth. It wasn't
I think it just went nuts. Because someone was telling me, and I've been telling so many people this, I don't know if this is true. I got my suit tailored by a lady who is like lives in India, but she's like come out over here, you know, when COVID hit. And she was like.
She's still here.
She's here now.
She got
out early. But she was like. COVID doesn't affect Indian people the way it affects people from other countries. And I was like, oh, really?
She jinxed it.
Pardon?
She jinxed it.
She absolutely jinxed it. And I told so many people that. And then now we both look like we've got
like,
I believed it straight away.
You told the like Indian health authorities that?
No. I told our health. I was like, don't worry about India. India will be fine. Their bodies can handle it.
Totally. I mean, I just feel like it's. We were talking about that about a year ago. Was this the nature of the disease is that it spread through international travel, and so it was like biggest in these kind of international hubs. And so
very good, Lauren. Very good.
Yeah. Well, good. Fucking, we're all on the same level in here.
Oh my god.
Much like the caps that you hit the curb with, you know.
Oh yeah.
Maybe that was why it was front of mind for you.
Interesting.
Hub caps. That's a part of a car.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Point is, the rich countries got infected first, and then the poor countries are a bit like, hey, finally on top. But then, no, it just takes longer to trickle down.
Took a minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I shouldn't have brought it up. Sorry, guys.
Crazy. Perth's in lockdown.
Yeah, but they'll be all right over there. Yeah, that premier's like an angry guy. Like, he's quick to just be like, I'm walking down the borders. Perth is like, he doesn't really care about the rest of Australia.
He's been hectic, yeah.
I think they all just like it.
I think it's amplified over there because there is a sentiment of like, fuck the East Coast. A bit more, maybe. Oh. So it's like, do you win a lot of points politically? Maybe.
Definitely.
Yeah, yeah. But it also makes sense, I guess. Like, if you were living there, like, what do you... I guess, yeah, it's hard if you can't see family, if you work interstate, this, that. But it makes sense. They're so isolated.
You ever been over there, Lauren?
Once for, like, 48 hours.
Oh.
It was...
48 hours.
I did the thing, you know, when you fly in and do the gigs. And I did the gigs, and then we stayed one night. And then we got did gigs again, and then got the red eye home.
Oh, that is one of the only places in the country, I think, where you can get a red eye.
Yeah.
A proper red eye. Fuck, you feel grim the next morning when you land.
It's the worst thing you can do, and you're not going to sleep on the plane, and you're going to be all full of Hungry Jacks, and you're going to be sick, and you're going to bomb the whole time you're over there anyway.
Yeah, it is bad. It's not worth it.
Yes. You're going to got more involved specific.
Yeah, you're going to bomb. And the MC is going to forget your name and turn you on. And then it'll happen again. And then the next MC will also forget your name. And then the time you do each night will get cut down by 2 minutes every set. And
that's why you're only there for 48 hours.
And that's why, yeah, you got to get out. They say
don't come back this Sunday.
They say don't come back. No, I think it was always planned to be the 48 hours.
Okay.
I think because there was the option.
A little brag there? It's like cancel any of my shows?
Absolutely not. Just got kind of whittled down.
Yeah.
That's not cancelled.
No.
Not cancelled at
all. What happened when they forgot your name? Just actually?
Yeah, yeah. It was crazy. I think I've talked about this before and I don't want to like make enemies, but it was like, yeah.
Just, say their name then.
Well, first of all, say your name.
I mean, I don't care. Oh, yeah. I was going to say, we've really gotten into this and we have not introduced me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. It's all right. Like, do you want an introduction?
No, it's just normal, right?
Hey, big round of applause. Well, she's a writer, actor. She does.
Thank you.
I know she's an illusionist.
Am I?
She's a great comedian.
That's the closest.
Big round of applause.
Rounds of applause.
Thank you.
Lauren, do you know what I was thinking as well today? We'll get back to your story. Yes. I'm going to start an Instagram account for this podcast.
Oh, right.
And I'm going to get a photo. You're going to be the first photo.
Right. Okay.
Thank God. Because you know what? I was not wearing makeup. And then I thought, I'm going to put a little bit of makeup on.
Oh, right. Great.
In case.
Yes. Everyone dresses up for this podcast. Remember the day Conchetta came and she looked $1 million.
What was she doing? That's very unusual for her.
I think she was going somewhere after, maybe.
Yeah.
No? No, I just choose to think it was...
It was for you.
For our benefit. That would be nice.
So your name was forgotten.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And...
But what, like a different name said or just no name?
No name said, but also like, you know, kind of no effort made to learn my name before the gig.
Sure. How do you introduce someone without a name?
Give it up.
Go crazy.
Do they say for your next comedian?
I don't even know.
Humor.
It was a while ago. It was a blur. Mm. He said something. I couldn't hear it as well. Because you know when they say stuff and then people are clapping, you can't heaps hear them say your name anyway.
Yeah.
He just said something. He might have just mumbled or something. No, because I went on and I was like, hey, my name's Lauren. Yeah, and then it was just all downhill from there.
It always sucks because I feel like you can't, if that happens, clarify. Or, come up. Because if you just start with being pissed off that you got introduced incorrectly, everyone's like, whatever. You know,
before I ever did my first ever gig was a Raw Comedy Heat. And before the show, the guy was giving us tips on what to do in your set. And he said, if the MC gets your name wrong, do not say, because no one cares about you.
Totally.
Yeah. And I don't know, maybe that's true.
That is true. And absolutely, because then also the audience, like, they almost don't even know that they're meant to say your name or, like, know shit. So you could just walk on and just do your thing. It doesn't matter. No one's going to remember anyway.
Totally. But then they'd put you in that position. You know, I'm terrible with
awkward.
Names.
It's awkward. It's awkward.
I did it badly. I won't say who, but I forgot the last name and went just... Just like random syllables, kind of. Because again, people don't really know, but it's bad. And when those people aren't white, frankly, comes off a bit racist.
Absolutely. I'm always really, I don't think I've done it in a while. I'm always super careful to have the thing on me or like the list, or I check how to say the name. Because I check before.
I run it a bunch in my mind and still forget after you've done like 10 minutes.
You've got to have it written down on you because you can just forget.
You know, I once, Gold Coast, the theatre, 1,200 people.
Yeah.
I was hosting and Brendan Reese was the next act on. And I was Brendan Reese.
Cool, I thought you said his name wrong.
No, imagine. And I was just staring at him in the wings. And I was like, I don't know that guy's name. And I'd spent like 5 weeks with him.
You
know?
He's
like,
not out here all the time, though, is he?
He's got little matching tattoos. British.
No, him and I got a tattoo. Like, I would say we're quite good friends.
That's
like,
your fault.
And it was just like I had a blank and then I was going like...
To be honest, that's when it's fine, though, because he knows that you still...
He yelled his name out to me, thank God.
Oh, my God.
He goes, Brendan Reese.
So he could tell that you didn't
know. Because I looked at him and I started being like, all right, we've got one more act. This guy's great. He's from England. And then I kept going. Yeah, like, turned and looked at him. I'm like, he's one of the best comedians you've ever seen. I was like, this 20 minutes is going to change the way you think about it. It starts off slow and it builds and it gets bit. You know, I was just
describing.
That's crazy.
And then I was like,
you start doing his bits? Okay, so the first one's going like this.
I'm from a working class town.
What's up, everybody?
Maybe that theatre is cursed, actually, because if that's the 1200 seat, that's Hoda in the Gold Coast.
Oh, it's Hoda,
right?
Yeah. They also do movies in there.
Oh, really? Well, I did that a while ago.
Not a great movie, Peter Rabbit.
Oh, yeah, funny.
I mean, it's a great film. Now, the second one goes to cinema is very soon.
I'm actually in it. I play a marketing exec
you got
on
Zoom.
No, imagine. That would be crazy if you didn't reveal that earlier.
Well, it would be such a good payoff. No, I'm actually not. Sorry, guys. I'm still just not in that NRMA ad. That is kind of part of my thing. Oh, no, well, I did that gig, and I remember it was my first kind of big gala gig, I think, a few years ago when I did it, and I walked out. And I'd just come from Brisbane. Like, when you're in the Gold Coast, like, you're in Brisbane that day, then you're in the Gold Coast. You're all over the place.
You're a bit of, you're zipping around. Yeah.
You also don't care.
You also don't care.
Because you're not from there.
Yeah, and you don't get that they hate Brisbane. And I walked out at the Gold Coast and I said, hello, Brisbane.
Oh, no, Lauren, did you really?
Yes.
That is bad. That's worse than forgetting the name.
Because you don't even have to say town.
I know.
You don't have to. And it's such an insult for the people
so
in the audience.
So crazy. And then I just did my whole set and it was, like, really average. And I was like, oh, my God, like, why didn't anything, like, land that well? And I walked off stage and then
even notice at the time.
I didn't notice. I was just like, oh.
You lean into it. You're like, you like, Brisbane people are sour pusses.
Yeah. I was like, they were like, did you know you said Brisbane?
Oh. And did everyone be like, oh my God? Was everyone like, oh my God, oh my God?
Yeah. I mean, they thought it was like a bit funny.
Well, I agree with you though. I didn't know that they hated each other.
I don't think they hate each other. I just think it's like, if you're in the audience.
It's disrespectful.
Yeah. If you're in Wollongong and they were like, hey, Sydney, you'd be like, oh, give me a fucking break.
You know what I would think, actually? Because I feel like it's happened a few times when maybe as a teen, when I was a comedy fan, I went and watched like famous Americans or whatever when they came out here. And they're always a bit like, where are we again? Like, I thought it was cool. I'm like, man, they're so busy touring. Yeah. They don't even know what city they're in. I feel like it's an indication
but
that they're
like famous.
Funny act.
No one sees
if they're
like,
not famous, it's just plain disrespectful.
Oh, yeah. just think it's like, once Ursula Carlson on Roadshow, she got it wrong like 3 times in 1 week. Like, just kept getting the towns wrong. Like, not care. She would be like, hey, Gunnedah. And they'd be like, it's Narry or whatever it is.
Just double check.
And she would just be like, oh, fuck, sorry.
Well, don't
like,
say it.
Yeah,
one
you don't
time,
have to.
I think it was in
you
Albany.
You don't have to. I don't normally. And that's what was crazy. Yeah. I never would say.
And you
hey.
Totally get it from like the perspective of if you're in a different place all the time. Of course it is tricky. But if you bought tickets since your big
tricky.
Night
it's
out.
Not
it's,
that.
I look, personally, I think it's, I think it, you've learned a
on
big
those things,
lesson,
also,
Lauren.
Literally all you're doing is just pottering around the new place you're in, usually. A lot of time to remember what it is.
I guess, but if you're going between places and if you're stopping
like
in different
Brisbane
towns.
And Gold
Brisbane,
Coast.
Brisbane,
those
Gold
places
Coast.
Are, what, 45 minutes away from
each
other?
Yeah, it's the same. But to them, they're like, we are a different culture. Yeah. We're a different community.
Oh, totally.
We're a different vibe. And they are. And they should have been mad at me. And I deserved it.
You are a bit forgetful. I was just spending the afternoon with Sam Campbell. And he was saying that you... He went overseas.
No. What did I do?
And he got on his work computer and you left suck. All your login details to everything just in there. He's like, there wasn't one thing where your details weren't. Like, your password's just auto-saved into everything.
Oh, no, that could
so
have gone
So you're on
wrong.
Someone else's computer being like, save password?
It was on at the office of like our management company and I was working there for a week or so.
Okay.
And so I guess, yes, I had logged into everything.
Yeah, he said everything. Like, he saw it all.
What did he do? I hope he didn't do anything. Knowing Sam Campbell, he's probably set up some kind of elaborate thing that'll have a payoff in five years.
Some probably, weird Pinterest board.
He did say don't mention it, so there might be something coming down.
Yeah,
I shouldn't have mentioned
it. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I just think and hope that it you know, nothing will come of that. And he just logged out politely.
Speaking of, I got a harrowing email to this week, Tom.
Oh my God. Was it about Indians and India's COVID rates?
Yeah, well, I did get, because I get the news alerts. Yeah, so exactly. I did actually. Yeah,
500,000 cases a day.
And being like, can Australia do? I've read so many opinion pieces on it.
Oh, let's get back in there.
It's worse.
Oh my God.
I got an email saying your Podbean activation payment was unsuccessful.
Oh my God, what does that entail?
Well, I got angry. I was about to screenshot it and send it to you, and I was like,
that's your job.
And then I realized I'm the one paying it.
You got angry.
Because I was like, Tom, this is on you. Mm. But I don't know what's, cause then I checked my account. So then I went to message, I emailed Podbean and I said, no, there's money there. And then realized it wasn't my old card.
Mm-mm.
So we need to check right now. No, it's a yearly fee.
Right now.
Yeah.
$108 a year, I think.
Yeah, because I did yearly. And that's what makes sense. But then if it came up unexpectedly, that's why I was like, are you doing monthly? Because it's actually better value to just pay the year in advance.
Oh, you were trying to add value there.
But people think they're like, oh, podcasts are free. It's like anyone can. No, you've got to have $108 minimum. Minimum.
$2 per week.
Absolutely. So. Well, I'm not getting $2 per week from anyone to do a podcast.
Exactly.
I'll tell you that much.
So fuck off. So you thought that.
Anyway, so I've got to... Yeah, so I've gone had to take. I've taken out a part-time job to pay for the podcast.
And what's that like? A little tiny bit of time?
Yeah, just I'm earning $2 a week at a job to
do
like a paper route.
Doing a paper route, but paper readership is declining. Yes. So it is. Yeah, it's hard.
It's tough.
You have to get up earlier.
I reckon you'd be good at a paper route because you're an early riser. You like to get up. You like to go for a walk.
Good
There's
arm
not
on
too
you.
Much skill to it though.
Yeah, no, but why not? You know, if you're up and about in any way, do a few letterbox drops.
Yeah, I would actually not hate it. Because my lecturer at university used to deliver pamphlets and I'd always be like, guys, you earn a lot.
Yeah.
What do you mean, for
you
money?
You don't earn a lot.
No, he would get paid for it. It would be like $10 an hour, maybe less or whatever it is. He's just delivering and he'd be walking around.
Communist propaganda?
No. Like Best and Less and, you know, Bras
and
Things.
Did you just spot them?
I used to see him out the front of my house. I'd be like, hey, man, how are you? But he would say he'd listen to podcasts and he was like, it's great exercise and it's good for my mental health. And I just, and you know, it's like he goes, I'd be walking anyway.
Lecturers actually also don't get paid that well and they have really notoriously poor kind of working conditions. Like
my friend, getting exploited.
Sounds like someone else got a news alert.
It's kind of a crisis in Australian universities at the moment.
No,
actually,
the crisis is our foreign students aren't coming.
No. Well, yeah, because they're not paying for anything.
Well, if they came over, we'd get them on the paper route.
Yeah, no, but there's plenty of money. But what is happening is it's the top administration are making like millions of dollars in their salary.
How do you know this?
Because my friend's in academia and all of the academic staff. My friend's on like 10-week contracts. You know, and she gets a 10-week contract and she doesn't know if she's going to have a job next term.
But they pay 17.5% superannuation
to work at a university. Yeah, of your salary,
and $10 an hour for the pamphlets.
And then they can hook, they know a paper guy.
Yeah, yeah,
particularly if you're teaching media. Was this guy teaching media?
No, this was politics.
Thank God, because otherwise you'd get mixed up. Maybe. You'd be like, you know, as we saw in the 1990s. Best and less, best prices. Oh,
maybe.
Sorry, I'm
going to
two jobs confused.
He was a media guy. He was delivering the paper so he could stay up to date. So he reads the paper each day, into the lecture studio. You're not going to believe it. Morrison, Albo at it again.
And you know what? Money. You would be saving about $2 a day then. Use that for a Podbean. Then you start podcasting.
You start a podcast and you could be listening to your own podcast.
Get that in the lecture theatre. Now you're at home. You're doing more pamphlets. Practically a millionaire, this guy, by now.
Absolutely. Are you guys, you brought up superannuation. Do you guys pay yourself superannuation as a sole trader?
I'm struggling to get this $108 together for the Podbean account.
Because God knows I'm not. Oh, God,
putting
I'm like,
more
fuck.
In superannuation.
No, well, I'm not, Tom, I don't do put anything in
Tom's
superannuation.
Tom's popped a lot into cryptocurrency.
Yeah, we've talked about that.
And I'm about to jump in there as well.
You're going
to
get in?
Well, I'm about to receive a big paycheck from TikTok. So I'm going to pop it all into...
What was the TikTok gig?
I'm just hosting all these shows for TikTok.
If you went back in time and talked to yourself when like 5 years ago and you told them that, yourself 5 years ago would say, you look like shit.
No, yourself 5 years ago would be like, what does any of that mean? Like, I'm getting a big paycheck from TikTok, so I'm going to put it in cryptocurrency.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was alluding to before.
Yeah, but you said it so mean. You said I look poor.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, aesthetically, it looked quite poor.
The joke was that you thought I was going to say what Lauren said, but then I accidentally...
You went the other way,
something that and was you quite know what? Insulting.
It didn't feel good. It hurt.
Yeah, I saw it in your eyes and I apologise for that.
Yeah, because I've been, you know, quite so... I mean, yeah, no. Yeah. I
haven't seen you this sad since you're Peter Rabbit audition.
Hey, you look great. Hey, you is that your dog in the corner?
Yeah, I'm just going to go for it. Is there a dog park around here?
It's a big black dog in here. It's kind of off-putting.
No, it's a Labrador. It's a guide dog for my depression. What were we talking about?
You're going to buy cryptocurrency. Lauren and I did a gig recently.
Crypto chat.
Oh, yeah. Big crypto chat. Too much, to be honest. Then other people started getting involved and making accounts.
People started asking me for advice with crypto.
Have you got crypto?
Yeah, but not much.
Big money?
No. Well, that's my story with crypto is I had Bitcoin years and years and years ago because my ex-boyfriend was really into it. And then in 2016, I had about 0.7 of a Bitcoin.
Which is still a bit, right?
It was all.
More than a bit.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you about this.
16 grand is one, is that
right? Wait. Just 16 grand. Oh, 60. My God. This guy's got a... Anyway.
He's got to go. Scott's got
to
go.
You're not ready to get into crypto if you think one Bitcoin's 16 grand.
Who the fuck's this guy? This guy's got to get out of here.
What are you going to kick him over? I'm paying the subscription fee.
Oh, my God. But what I was saying.
Get online.
Do you want me to go? I'll go if you want.
Spend 1 minute on the crypto subreddit before you bring it up.
What did you say before about me? I'm look shit.
Go back in time 5 years. Yourself 5 years ago would say you look like shit, you fucking asshole.
Yeah, maybe 5 years ago one Bitcoin was 16k.
Yeah, true. Maybe that's
I mean, that's probably where I was. Yeah.
Well, no, in 2016, I sold 0.7 for like a bit over $400, I feel.
Oh.
And then I looked it up and the other day, that would be worth about $52,000.
What?
Yeah, because my boyfriend at the time was like, you got to sell. It's not going to get higher than this.
That's actually...
Imagine that.
That's like abuse.
Contacted
him. That's gaslighting.
Yeah.
Did you sell it to him?
No. Well, he sold his too, so, you know, and he had way more than me, so he would be, you know, we've all lost out. But, you know, then also I wouldn't have had it if it weren't for him too, so, you know, that's kind of the other side of things.
Oh, that's
still this and that.
I think it makes it better that if he had, like, more than one, for example, then that's... I don't know how people deal with that. Like, it's
even
quite
then,
stressful.
Yeah, because I remember then when he was selling it for like what felt like a lot at the time, he was like, oh man, if only I'd kept all the Bitcoin I had 5 years before, even then, you know, when you would spend like 10 Bitcoin to get like one pill delivered from Silk Road.
Yeah. That's what it was, right?
Yeah, people were just buying drugs. He'd just buy drugs with it or whatever, or like lost it or this or that.
Doesn't Henry still have like a Bitcoin? He was on it in like the early 2000s.
Does he?
I swear he's got a Bitcoin locked in a wallet somewhere and he can't remember the password.
Oh my God. That happened to a friend of mine too. Yeah. I feel like this is the thing.
It's a thing. I had some as well. But it also, again, it would be like a fraction. Never had enough money to have any.
Pretend you, I think you'd want to forget about it.
You can't, What are you going to do? Like, woulda, coulda, shoulda. I also should have bought shares in like Afterpay or Apple, you know.
Google?
Exactly.
Same thing. Google.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The issue is, though, we did this gig, we were talking about it, other people started actually getting accounts and stuff as well.
And involving me in the decision.
It was too much. And then immediately after that, pretty much, it crashed semi. Like, it
really
went down quite a lot.
And they weren't ready for it, you don't think?
Well, I'm not sure how many of them got into it, but then that's the trouble with talking about this stuff. It's like a bit fun if you got some, but if you give people the wrong advice, it's kind of like back to the car thing.
Yeah.
It's like people come back to you and then now you've kind of ruined a relationship forever. If I, like, just some comic that I've gigged with every now and then, have a bit of affection for, but like my main relationship with them is they lost me $20,000.
But that's so much money. And if they put all of their life's money, if they put 20K in, like, that's on them. Like, I said, I was like, I only put in like what I could lose. Like,
So you treated it like you were gambling.
It's very high risk. I've got like, for someone who is on Centrelink, I'm very into investing.
No, I like it. You're making your money go far.
Yeah, well, that's when you've got as little as I do, you just need to be smart about it. And it's working. So I've got like, you know, a little chunk, like in the realm of like $2,500 or $3,000 in like very safe, like with just Rays, which are just funds that are very stable. Yeah, yeah. So that's pretty stable. And then I've got like probably like $800 in crypto, which is like very volatile. But if I lost all of it, it would really suck, but I wouldn't
kill
myself. I'd be fine, but I wouldn't put the $3,000 in.
It's like 8 podcasts a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're not doing that.
Yeah, no. I've got one. Nah. Big Natural Talents, please listen to it, available on Apple
Podcasts. Yeah, you've got a podcast, yeah, don't I mean, you? Yeah, let's not talk about it.
Come on, guys. Yeah, that's why I'm here, all right?
You were also at another gig that we did ACAB.
Yeah.
Where this guy wasn't there. And you've been told about the performance that I did.
It back to me from like five people. Did.
What
five
happened? People. About, is this about the chicken?
No, well, I heard the chicken was separate to this.
There was a chicken at this show. There was also a show. There was also a show. There was also a part of my performance where Sam was involved.
Yeah, yeah, that was a bit of fun.
And I didn't clear.
Was it funny?
Yeah, it was really funny.
Yeah, it
was okay. Because he was contrasting your handsomeness to his ugliness.
You said I look like shit.
No, that was a joke. You look great, mate. When I'm not there, it's fantastic. When I'm not there, it's like, oh, it's so beautiful. When I'm in the room, he's just like doing a shit on me.
Yeah, well, we're trying to bring you down, all right, to our level.
That's, you know, you've just described friendship, mate.
Yeah.
Just like my relationship with my father. Apparently he's proud of me, brags to, and then when I'm in the room, he's like, you could do better.
That's
like,
who are you? You're a disgrace. It, isn't it? That's what he's you're always sicking me. Here.
Maybe you seek out those relationships in others. And that's why you were drawn to me.
Yeah, and you see are that like, mirrored.
That is true. I've heard people do that.
No,
I mean, I've like tried to spend the last. Yeah. I've like, tried to spend the last 2 weeks like working on myself, oh, which right. I've never done before.
The big thing.
How are you doing that? Because I want to do it too. What do you do?
I'm just trying to like
journal
think.
Or something.
Well, I journal anyway.
Yeah.
But I have just been walking more.
Yeah, going for walks and thinking about things. That's actually the only way I feel like I'm ever bettering myself.
Because I've never like, you know when people are like, they're like, listen to your body, I've never done that. It's like I go to bed and wake up in the morning and then it's like, I'm just trying to get through each breath. You know, yeah. I've never thought. It's, I can't stress how in the moment my life is.
There's a few dogs in here. Jesus Christ. Two or three more have come in.
Fucking hell, mate.
I left mine at home, mate. You know?
All I'm saying.
I'm just trying to get through each breath.
All I'm saying.
One of the most depressing things.
No, it's not depressing. I just mean that it's like I've never stopped to think about, like you're saying that like people seek out those relationships, definitely true.
Yes.
I've never analysed my life enough to bother even doing that. It's you're, like breath to breath.
Yeah. You're living in the moment. Yes. We're investing.
Totally.
You're in crypto.
And I think you were using the breath I'm thing in Podbean. To say yeah. that it's not an investment insofar as you're paying
it's
for
it's an
service.
Investment. It's an investment.
It's
okay.
a tax yeah. deduction.
Yeah. When yeah, this true. Instagram account pops that I'm about to make.
Exactly. But I know, I think you're, I reckon there's some value in not looking into that stuff.
Yeah. I think there's definitely like being present in the moment. That's what I struggle with.
It's kind of what people are after.
It's absolutely the whole thing. I'm stressed. I'm anxious. I feel terrible because I already in my head am worried about being like 50 barren and have a terminal illness and no career. And that hasn't even happened yet.
Totally.
But
yeah, you've got time for it to happen. I've, don't worry.
Yeah, there's time. But, you know, I'm missing out on today because I'm worried about tomorrow.
Oh, do you honestly think you struggle with that? Like you...
Yeah.
What's that that Tim posted it on Instagram, the hack line? It's like you forget... You miss out on some of the best nights you'll never remember. Do you feel like that?
Hang on, what? You miss out on some of the best nights...
You'll never remember.
Because what, you're drunk or something?
Yeah,
I guess because of that. But I think more it's like you regret the night. You regret, or you just regret not doing things when you could have.
Yes.
Because you're too stuck kind of either in the past or in the future. And I think that's that's like some philosophy Oprah podcast shit, which is what I'm into. That's the whole thing of like people, a lot of people's anxieties and stresses and causes for their depression come from the future, which doesn't exist. Or from the past, which also does not really exist anymore.
Is that the dichotomy between anxiety and depression? Anxiety, worrying about the future, depression, worrying about the past? I've heard someone say that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So you could be depressed about the past. I mean, the future. Yeah. Say, for example, you missed out on like a role in a film and it's coming out soon.
Yeah.
And you want to do the press tour anyway. You want to live vicariously.
You kind of only wanted it for the press tour. That's the kind of thing you only really enjoy in showbiz.
I'm not a doctor, but I would diagnose you with a very strange manifestation of depression where you promote things. I've never seen it before. We need a more qualified doctor in here.
Yeah. That's
I feel funny. Like a lot of people would be after that kind of present. But I think then it's just about, it's like anything. People covet what they don't have. And you're seeing people that are like seem to be thinking about their future in like a more sophisticated way.
Yeah. And I think it's a balance though, because you can't just be so living in the moment that you just like, you know, like
I mean, not being confident like, about three breaths away is probably too much. Yeah.
No, I mean, I just mean like that's the only thing. I'm like, we're still good. Let's go. I'm not being like, God, it could be all done in three breaths.
Totally. But you know, you're not too, like, you go to the gym and stuff. Like, you do, like, think about the future in that sense.
Oh, but I wouldn't do that for the future. I would do that. Oh, actually, I would do it for short-term future.
Short-term, yeah.
Short-term.
But like, also, because it's just a habit. And it's just part of what you want to do in the day. Exactly. Yeah. If, I mean, if you build up effective habits which push you towards somewhere where you want to be, then being present is fine.
Yeah.
That's funny. It's such like a comedian problem to have that is so unrelatable to anyone else you talk to in the world is me being like, what do I do all day?
Oh,
so much time.
I feel like there's time, but then there's no time.
Yeah, it's either there is or there isn't.
Like, yeah, it's like they're either like you were just waiting to do the thing or waiting to go and do that, go to that place or do the thing. Or it's like you've just got no time to do anything. It's like, I think time is like the most interesting. Yeah, stop laughing at me, guys. Come on.
Time is crazy. No,
I think it's the most valuable commodity.
I think it's
actually, and they made a movie about this with Justin Timberlake, and the currency was time.
Yeah.
Nothing's resonated. I don't know what that movie's called. Yeah, maybe In Time or something.
When you think about it, though, currency is time because we're all just trading our labor and our bodies.
Yes!
Every day.
He almost flipped three of the microphones off. A visceral reaction to that.
Yes, I know that might be a hack thought, but that's what I've thought about a lot last week.
No, it is true. That's even like, right now it's like if I, you know, if I worked more in the day or something, I would have more money, but the time to me is more valuable.
Totally. Yes,
exactly.
And in some ways as well, time is a currency because the blockchain requires miners to use computer power to get more Bitcoin. Which,
and also, energy physically is money because it does require...
labor to manifest that energy and give it value.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of things are kind of money. Why are you thinking about time now?
Oh, I'm just trying to get
back
stuff
from
done.
Melbourne.
Are you okay? Is there a diagnosis you need to talk about?
Mm. Yeah, I've been diagnosed as ugly, apparently.
oh, my God. It was a joke.
Nothing's wrong, but don't you ever just take
stock? I was just doing a switcheroo. I was like alluding to one thing and then doing something else that was surprising.
Look, Tom, I'm not sure if you've been reading some articles on comedy at the moment. There was one in the Herald yesterday regarding Tom Ballard. Jokes are hate speech sometimes.
Mm. Sometimes they are.
Would you say jokes can be time?
Mm.
Oh, my God.
Or money. Should have gone with money.
Jokes can be money, that's for sure. Mm. Jokes are money.
Yeah. And totally. when I do a gig, I think about the audience's time because I think, look, these people have gotten a babysitter.
Well, you don't even learn the name of the town you're in.
It was one time.
I have to do, and I am conscious of your time if you have to be anywhere.
I don't have to be anywhere.
But I'm
conscious of it too.
I've signed a deal with the Chinese at the with TikTok at the moment. And okay. So I'm hosting all these shows for TikTok.
The Chinese.
The CCP run TikTok, don't they?
I think that's an Australian subsidiary.
I think they are using it to like track down people and
stuff. I think there's a lot of that. Yeah, I think there's a lot of the anyway, look, it's fine. It's great. Anyway. It's a great.
In this case, they've tracked down a funny bloke.
You're hosting these shows that are being live streamed. They're the stand-up comedy shows.
Yeah, you're doing one?
No, I haven't been booked for any, which is actually fine.
I'll get you on. I'll get you both on.
You know what?
Does it pay well for me or not pays well for you?
Yeah, no, it's more. It's like, I think for a short spot would be like a bunch of podcasts for a year.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I'd do that.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's, you know, so many podcasts.
Also, speaking of time, what is the sound of time? TikTok.
TikTok.
Well, shut up.
No wonder that's you've why done you've been thinking about God. Time.
It's all come together. This is a festival show.
Yeah, yeah, really kind of. This is
I hope India's COVID numbers don't go down because next April we're on to a winner.
Yeah. You could do your next festival show and it's about time and you've got actually what you do is very unconventional. You walk on stage and there's a countdown of 55 minutes and it just counts down and they can see the time the whole
time. Guy Montgomery's done that.
Has he?
Yeah, he did that a few years ago.
Everything's been done.
I know. There is nothing left to do.
But no, we had the COVID angle.
We have the COVID angle and we've got like this.
And maybe I could, you know, it's your show. I come heckle you. You ugly fucking cunt.
Oh, a plant. Kind of a yes, actually.
You know, I can play myself. Yeah. You know, not a plant. I just barge in.
I'm Tom Cashman.
And I'm like, I'm exactly. very keen to give you another name. You're like, no, no, I stand by the comments.
Yeah. Tom Cashman, write this down. Like, this is I'm a guy that actually knows him. This is not coming from nowhere.
Anyway, so I'm tied up. So they're like, they've asked me to do a favor for them. And I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever you want, TikTok. And so they're like, can you come in early tomorrow and pull a big prank on the Australian CEO?
Is this tomorrow?
Like, yeah, this is tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
And what's I was the like, prank? And I was like, I'm in, guys. Like, I'd love to help. And then I had a conference call with them. There was like 17 people on this conference call.
Oh, my God.
The CEO. And they're like, this is what we're thinking. He's coming to the show tomorrow. He's going to come in early, have a look at everything. You guys get in there. And we've created a line to him that you're going live doing your own thing for TikTok. You're answering questions, doing your own thing.
Oh, this is good.
You're going to bring him on. Like, you'll be like, he's here.
Oh, yeah.
Bring him on. Guess. Yeah. And then you're going to, like, belittle him, tease him, be real mean to him to the point where, like, he's going to want to, like, fight you. And then the
this
HR
is gonna
person.
Go so badly.
And then the what HR the person hell? Is going to come in and just end it. Like, end it. And then we're going to be like, surprise, we weren't live at all. And
oh, I was my like, God.
And I was like, what do you want to do? And they're like, make fun of his, like, you know, sex stuff is good. It's like, it's not going anywhere. It's a turn. So be as mean as you want to this
they're
guy.
They're not
going to
film it separately and put that up?
They're filming it.
Surely they would filming want to do
it
that.
Because I think he has a work anniversary next week.
Okay.
Maybe like two or 3 years
for the
at
internal,
TikTok.
Party
and I think they're going to show the video of me humiliating this guy.
Oh, this I would hate this gig. I'd be so stressed.
Are you getting paid extra for this?
This is a favor to the this is a to favor. TikTok. But they're paying me quite well for the thing. So I kind of don't have a choice.
I reckon, first of all, that you've done well starting that TikTok account a few months back. My Lord.
No, yeah, but it's not. No, I just it's got nothing to do with that. They
Doesn't
took
it?
A video off my TikTok yesterday.
Why?
What do you mean?
Who?
TikTok.
What was wrong with it?
They said I you breached said community guidelines.
Was it against their CEO? You're like, mate, I'm going to prank you in 2 days, you fuck. Getting ahead of it now, you piece of absolute garbage.
You know, it wasn't that at all. Imagine
I reckon
if it was,
that could be funny if you just don't go as hard as they want. Because it's actually similar to, have you seen the TikTok meme where people, it's one of my favorites, where people, the partners are in the room and they pretend to film something for themselves and they're like, hey guys, I just want to tell you about my daily routine. I've been getting up at 6 a.m. and going for a run every morning before I have my goji berries and like start lying.
Yeah.
And then their partner's like, what the fuck? You're lying. And like you get to see their actual reaction to what they think is a real video. It's kind of similar to that. And that can go well if it's just, I think the key is the person needs to be confused and kind of being like, this is not good, but not so much where you're just like, insulting his honour.
I'm just going to find it hard to pretend like it's actually going live when it's not. But they're setting a whole thing up with cameras and stuff.
Yeah. That'll be them, though. That'll be them, though, I reckon. Like, they'll have to do all that fake stuff. But then you're just like, oh, yeah, are we starting? All right. Yeah, I'll get into it.
G'day, TikTok. That you just chat like there. And then you got to remember the guy's name, key, introduction.
Yeah.
That would be bad if you forget it. How about this? The C and CEO stands for Chinese in this case.
They said don't mention the Chinese.
Okay.
That was the one thing they said.
I thought you were going with this. I thought you were going to say that he was going to be watching and they were going to get you to say like really problematic stuff.
No.
That the company was going to come down or.
No. That's think the only thing I can think of, because I don't want to make fun of like, I don't want to be like, I've heard.
It's less personal.
It's less personal, yeah.
I wouldn't get him involved. Unless they know him. Is he really, he's like a tech company CEO. He's probably 21.
No, I don't know. Yeah, I think he's maybe late 30s or something, or 40s. But I'm going to be like, I think the angle I'm going to pretend, I'm going to like be insistent about how much money he earns. I think that's the safest way to annoy him and not, and then at the end.
Perfect.
Because I don't want to be like, hey, a lot of women that work at TikTok have been talking and they said you touch them on the thigh.
Yeah,
and
don't do that.
Do you know what I mean?
Ask about money. Ask about like, and then ask if you can have some money. Ask if he can like give his staff pay rises or something.
Yeah.
And then you could just do like a real, I don't know, you could ask something really fucked up. Like
but
a
my
sex
big
thing.
Fear
I think
is
also
that
you
he's going
to
not
stupid
sleep.
As well. You need to, like Ali G, I think is a good example here. He would signify to the other person by saying stupid stuff before they even talk. To kind of let them know that he's an idiot, to kind of, so they recalibrate their expectations and then kind of go to them. I think you need a few things, before, because I love all that.
Yeah, I think you're
but
right.
But you need to say a few things to the camera to kind of show him you're an idiot.
It's like, how am I going to get, because it's just supposed to be me fielding questions and then like just talking. And then they're like, you have to call him up because he's going to be there. If he flees and is like, I'm not doing it, then we've wasted so much time.
If he doesn't know that he's getting called up.
I think I was like, could you let him know? And they're like, it'll ruin the whole thing.
He won't want to do it live.
So I need everyone to be like, this is great. Like everyone there watching being like, this is great. This is just what we want. Like this is killing people commenting. It's up or whatever.
I think they'll take care of that.
Otherwise, he's going to run.
All you've got to do is just be like, oh, hey. And then you've got to fake a few questions.
Yeah, I need some fake questions.
Yeah. And then have a few of those in.
Maybe you should ask him if he's circumcised. That would be funny.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
That's not bad if I'm like circumcised, uncircumcised.
Is he Jewish?
Yeah.
So I think if he was, it would be a bad question.
You could run through it like you've got a whole lot, like do a speed round of stuff. Yes. And just throw in some weird stuff in there.
Yeah, but then that implies I'm prepared for him, which I don't think they want. I think it's
you could have some standard questions you ask
because it's
people.
His birthday or something. It's coming up, and then they will like just make an excuse, be like, "I want to get the CEO on to wish him happy birthday."
Yes,
and then just hold him there and make it so uncomfortable for him. And
how about you sing happy birthday slowly to him,
like Marilyn Monroe?
Mm.
But he'll run surely.
No, why don't you get him to do a TikTok dance? Tell him to dance. He has to dance.
But then, to be honest, I think that could work well because if he does it, will be like, oh my God, this is going to go viral. Like, everyone's going to think I'm the cool CEO if I pull this off. He's going to floss and pull it off, and then they're going to reveal that it's fake, and he's going to be disappointed. He's like, fuck, it's going to be the opposite.
He actually will hate me.
And the company will love having a video of him doing a dance. They'll love that. That's so funny.
Yeah. Totally.
Oh, well, yeah, it's pretty nerve-wracking stuff.
It is crazy. It's one of those requests where, like, you know, people are like, you're a comedian, go on, just roast him. You know, why don't you make fun of our friend? We want you to make, you know, when people in the audience are like heckling you, they're like, oh, we want you to make fun of this guy. Like, he's just done something or broken up with his girlfriend, and it's like, it's not actually fun, like, for him, and it's not that easy. I don't know him. You can't just roast someone you don't know because you don't know the insecurities.
Totally. But even in that context, it's a show where other people are listening and there's some vibe. You've got to, in the morning, do a fake thing. It's like, basically, you're getting booked for an argument.
Yeah, I'm getting booked to be, because they were like, we want him really angry at you before we end it.
You can't, like, that's crazy.
And I was like, well, what if he doesn't?
You know,
like,
this good job angry. You've got, the head of our organisation, so we want you to yell at him.
The guy quite likes me, apparently. He and must, so it's right, like, and so they were like, get him angry. And then they want him to look at you being like, but I know you, we're friends, you know.
It's just one of those things where you just got to ignore their brief.
Yeah. And you know, you're the expert.
I'm going to take it for a spin.
So what can you do? Mm-hmm. And you can have a bit of fun up there and be yourself.
I reckon you embarrass yourself a little bit. Do a few inappropriate jokes about yourself.
Yeah. Make it because you want him to be like, I don't want this streaming on TikTok.
Right? I just don't want him to run away, though. I just need to be like, dude, how much you love TikTok? This is going through the roof. People have questions for you.
Yeah.
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 Totally. So nothing too crazy, but just something to signify. Maybe you could use my joke from earlier about going back in time. Could be like a self-deprecating joke.
And then it says TikTok, yeah.
Yeah, and then that could be a segue into asking him about money. So saying, like, I don't know how much I'm making from this, and it's crazy money. You must be selling the people's data for so much.
Well, see, no, I've got to steer it. Yeah. I think that's
they're actually worried about. God. See, this is the thing. They want fun.
I know, but you push
fun.
Buttons a lot don't of the be time.
Real. Yeah.
I obviously don't do that.
I'm not afraid to kind of tell it how it is.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I don't do that kind of stuff. I'm a big scaredy cat.
Yeah.
At my core.
You're on the project.
I'm sensitive.
At your core and on the outside.
On the outside.
I was watching a scary show last night with my girlfriend.
What show?
The Outsider. It's not bad.
I haven't seen it.
Directed by Jason Bateman.
What? Ah.
Crazy.
The dad from Michael Bluth.
Exactly. Or, now he's you know, at the top of the run.
What's the big hit, smash hit show he's in? That,
Ozark.
Ozark.
Yeah, I think it's kind of Ozark-esque in terms of vibe, but it's a bit mystical. And my girlfriend turns to me and she's like, you're great because it's more fun to watch scary stuff with you because you're scared too. Like most men would be like, oh, this isn't scaring me, but you're scared.
She needs to meet everyone in my friendship group.
Well, it's also just another way of calling me a pussy.
Yeah. I think maybe she's doing that to, like, try to find the benefit in...
That's what I mean. It's like, the downside is, you know, no safety, no one to rely on if things are really bad.
You know, he's relying on me in many ways.
Highs and lows. I've also got a scared boyfriend.
Yeah.
Really?
I don't mind it.
But it's fine to be scared. I hate scary movies.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, we just don't watch them.
Why would you pay money to be scared?
Yeah.
It's exhilarating.
Depends on the kind of scare. Exactly. I think ghosts really scare me because it feels like the movie Paranormal Activity. Did you guys see that?
Mm-hmm. I saw it. No, it's scary. No.
Yeah, when it came out, like when I was a young teenager, or I think I saw it in the movies, and it was like, because it's like the sight of the horror is just like your home. And it was so scary. I can't sleep. I can't sleep still if I think about it because it's just like a monster.
That's the bad stuff, yeah.
So scary.
So you want the setting of the horror
to
be nothing like where you are.
But I'm less scared of like, I'm not as scared of like serial killers. It's so funny. Like I'm not scared of things that actually could and statistically are likely to happen to me.
Yeah.
Like get killed by a man or something. I'm like, not scary. That's cool. That's
fine. Well, not by your boyfriend. It's your
yeah, not my boyfriend. No. Just a stranger killing. But ghosts,
boyfriend, like aliens. Second bedroom on the right.
Yeah. He's like, she's down there. Kill her. Stop it. I can't watch.
Throw that out, actually. Good luck in there, honey.
But yeah, I think supernatural stuff is scary to me. Are you scared of ghosts?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely was growing up. Yeah. I definitely was. And I used to lie and say I saw ghosts to people at school. I'd be like, in like primary school.
Oh, my God.
I'd be like, yeah, I saw a ghost last night.
What and was how did the that ghost go? Story?
Yeah. And they were like, what was it? And I'd be like, it's an old woman. I just think because I got caught up in the whole kind of vibe of the ghost.
Did people think that was cool? Was that, did that work to get you some social cachet?
No, but I think someone else was telling me there was a ghost at their house and I was kind of like,
just copied their story.
I was like, I want a ghost. Because I grew up in like a really old house that did kind of feel,
could have been ghosts.
Did feel haunted, and there was like an old, like a side bit at the back where you're like the house would be well over 100 years old. Like it had that vibe.
It was
like,
almost definitely, I feel like if someone tells me that they see a ghost, I immediately believe them. And then that happened recently. Someone told me like, oh, my house is haunted. And I was like, yes, I believe you. I'm on your side. Tell me more. I absolutely believe them with my whole heart. And then later on, I kind of realized that probably the house wasn't haunted.
But do you know Nikki Britton's mum's chasing ghosts at the moment?
I heard about it in her show.
Oh, yeah, I was there. Yeah. It was a great show. Huh?
Great show.
What do you mean at the moment?
She got one of those devices that can sense.
Yeah.
Like when there's some, I mean, apparently she's living alone like and going a bit nuts.
A Ouija board?
Yeah, something. But what? An electric like thing in
a
your
meter.
Yeah, and it gets
like a beep, beep.
Yeah.
I'm going to get one. Anyways, what I learned from
you
that.
Love it. Yeah.
I would love
is
that.
It. What do you think it actually does? Is it random?
It's, I don't know if it's random or if it's like maybe thing? It's like like electricity or magnetism.
Totally.
There's plenty of things you can vibe in the air.
Well, I believe
spookiness is a difficult thing to quantify.
Absolutely.
Have you seen the picture of Greta Thunberg from like the 1860s in like the goldfields in Canada? Like that was enough
this
for me
climate
to know
denialism
that. That was enough for me to know that stuff's going on. No, I think she's here to tell us about climate change. I think she's a ghost or some kind of supernatural thing that has travelled the world and has been like, time is up,
guys. Is that just because she looks a bit off?
I mean, you said it. But, you know, if you were travelling through time and space.
She looks like she's from the
1800s. Hey,
You're so critical about how people look.
It comes from a place of insecurity, I think.
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely. What I've been thinking, though, about ghosts and how I would, because I don't know, like, if I'm that ghosty specifically, but I think there's definitely, like, energy and, like, vibes. But, like, surely, like, as a comedian, you know when there is, like, good energy in a room or bad energy. Like, that's the most easy and specific way
Some
to,
Some nights
like,
up there, it gets pretty spooky.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think I die and become a ghost maybe.
But, of course, there's, like, energy is a thing. And, like, maybe if people die, like, their energy doesn't go away. Like that's like the vibe in a room is such a thing. And like for comedy I think is the easiest way to like sense a vibe. Because it's like you can just get on stage and be like, ooh, there's this feeling in the room that is bad and it's not my jokes, it's nothing to do with my bits.
I just think exactly.
There's a ghost coming in and just making people not laugh.
Yeah, but not necessarily a ghost.
And most of them are in Perth.
Every time you mob like there was a ghost in
Perth's
tonight.
Haunted, I swear to God.
Perth is so haunted and like this MC was possessed by the spirit of someone from the 1800s who hated me.
All I know about this kid who died in a fire in 1822 is she's not funny, okay? She doesn't have a very good sense of humor.
She's not funny. She forgets my name all the
time. But maybe that's why Greta is notoriously unfunny.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because she's a ghost that's been alive forever.
But maybe she likes slapstick and kind of old school comedy. She it's would. Just a different style.
She's a big
style.
Charlie Chaplin fan.
That's a great way to find out if people are ghosts from the past is do like very dated bits to them.
We wheel out.
See what they laugh at.
Oh, yeah. Totally. We do some pies and faces or whatever.
Exactly.
And that music's like, dun, 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 and I'm chasing someone around in black and white.
They love it. They love. Oh, show them.
One knee slap equals you're in the right decade.
They got to fix my collar and like water spurts out and hits them in the face.
Show them
like,
that video of the train driving forward and see if they run and jump out of the way.
Totally. That's good. We tie them to the tracks. We're like, is this funny for you? And a train's coming.
And if they're going like flailing up and down, going, oh, yeah, they're a ghost.
There it goes. There it goes.
This is sounding very similar to the Salem witch trials.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It would be. Have you watched the TV show Outlander?
No.
Oh, she almost gets burned.
I watched a bit.
A witch. A very horny show.
One
of the horniest shows I've ever seen.
Insanely horny.
That's another type of energy. Are ghosts ever horny?
Yeah, big time.
You seem sure? Okay.
No, but that's like a genre of ghost.
You've got
what
a different device
a
to Nikki's mum.
A succubus.
Aren't they a bit more like aggressive?
That's like a demon that like fucks you to death.
Is that true?
Yeah.
That's a thing that exists.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty horny.
I mean, like, does it exist? You know,
that's
I'm
as horny
it's a
as
demon.
It gets.
But it's like, yeah, that's like a spirit, like a malevolent spirit.
That also strikes
horny.
Me as something that's come
worse
up
because
with.
You get raped and
and
murdered. Like, that's... That's the worst of all the demons.
But I don't think you do. I think, isn't it often someone who
it's
wakes
seductive.
Up in a dream and then they're like, oh, my God, I got raped by a succubus tonight. And it's like, are you sure, Karen? Are you just, you know, being lonely?
Believe all women and their like, devils fucking them stories.
Well, I feel like, the people that see or imagine ghosts, I think sometimes what they see is reflective of, their inner
their
selves
own.
And what they're craving.
Well, I was watching, actually, there's this show, I think it was on Binge. It's called, like, Celebrity Ghost Encounters.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I watched the Ice-T episode and then the Paula Abdul episode.
This just sounds, hang on, right up my, all of these words you've said here, Binge, Paula Abdul, and everything's a tick, 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 ghost.
It's awesome.
But hang on, so is the ghost of Ice-T or is Ice-T the person who witnessed the ghost?
So what they do is it's this host who is, like, a ghost mediator.
The host is a ghost. Oh, okay. Right.
The host is a ghost. No,
it's a boring show. You're just filming nothing.
The host is a woman who's like very connected to the spiritual realm. And what she gets in touch with celebrities who have like kind of a supernatural experience of their own.
Mm.
And then she goes with them back to the site of their supernatural experience and they like explore it and talk about it. So Paula's was really good because Paula Abdul used to live in this house. And it was like she moved there after her divorce and just, she was going through this crazy stuff. And there were like so many ghosts in the house. She said she specifically saw like this man and his son, this specific ghost in their outfits. And then the ghost lady like saw them too. Like she said like she sensed them too. But then she had also like a nice ghost. There were two different kinds of spirits in the house. It was like a bad spirit that would like open all her doors every night and like open all her cutlery doors. And even it was crazy. Like one of her fans like killed themselves in her driveway of that house.
One of her fans.
Yeah, this
came.
Like
did that become a new
fan.
Ghost? So she added, to, was
but,
that another ghost?
I don't know, but it was just bad energy at the house. But then there was like a nice ghost. She said she woke up in the middle of the night and it like, and she would see like this old woman sitting at the foot of her bed, but it was like a calming presence. And it was like that old woman was like protecting her from the evil ghost in the house.
Do you think these ghosts are trapped and they're on their way to the afterlife?
Well.
Or do you think maybe this is it for us?
I think it depends on the ghost.
As in, that's
there's just right now there could be a ghost in here, in the podcasting studio.
As in, you're saying there's nowhere else to go and then all people are just
ghosts. We're just floating around. Mm.
Then I feel like it would be just very crowded.
It'd be crowded. There'd be way more
ghosts. There'd be too many ghosts.
So crowded.
But then maybe the ones, the ghosts that we sense are just the ones with like the most magnetic personalities.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
there's lots of ghosts that human can't sense.
I think it's normally.
But if you've got like.
Yeah. What they say normally, I think it's like if they have like unfinished business or like a purpose. So these ghosts that were nice, they were there to protect Paula against like the malevolent force in the house. And that was like their purpose. And they like were with her. And then maybe after she left, the new family in the house, they said they hadn't experienced any ghosts.
Mm. It would be cool if you were a ghost and then you all got a few day trips.
Yeah.
Where you could pop into the living realm.
Yeah, that
would
be cool.
And they're like, you can just pop in, hang out for the day or whatever.
As in, and be a normal person.
No, but you're just there, you
you're
know,
there.
Like,
just hang out.
Because there's got to be another place. You are right in terms of Judith's space. It's like we can't all be
but
here.
But they can overlap.
What?
You know?
What do you mean?
Yeah, but vibe, so you can't just be ghost inside a ghost inside a ghost, like a
tadukken
of ghosts.
Yeah. It's just like, I'm the one that looks after you, but inside her, I'm scary.
Yeah,
and it would all be overlapping in vibe.
I'd love to have a few looking out for me.
So, but you would want to go, so like, where would you go if you're a ghost?
Right now?
No, in 50 years, let's say, you pass away, very sad.
Yeah, it would be real sad.
Totally.
Because you check out, like, your ancestors and stuff, right? That's kind of a go-to. People always think that they're ghosts of their grandparents and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, and that makes sense because that is where you'd go.
Who else would you know? You wouldn't know anyone. That's even you think about, like, I left, like, uni a few years ago and I was like, I don't know anyone who goes to that uni anymore. That's like if you died, you're like, I don't know anyone who's around anymore.
I mean, that's like, totally.
So you just know your kids.
It is that sense. I was driving through Clovelly yesterday. We used to live together in a house in Clovelly, Tom, and I had the sense of being like, oh, and I drove up the old tree just to have a look at it. And maybe it's a bit of I have no real connection to the place anymore. I don't, you know.
Well, we had a bit of an argument with the people who live there. So if you spotted the guy coming out, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
You know?
What did you fight about?
Oh, just we scratched the floors and they wanted $4,000 for it.
No. Yeah.
Bit rich.
Absolutely not. Yeah, you took them to court and stuff. Was that?
We tried, yeah. We
went Tom's to gone a few times. I think there was the other house we used to live in. You took them to court.
Both. For that one, I went to the conciliation myself.
How do you go securing a rental now with this long history of...
I don't think people look at your rentals.
Well, no, these are there to support the renter in this. Yeah, like, you do have a right of reply, I think.
That's good.
You just request the bond back. I don't think it goes on I think if they ask the previous
real estate agents... That's not, is that on record if you go to tribunal?
It's a great question. I have no idea. I hope not.
I think it...
She's the one who was like... Because the first one, I went with Becky, and it was like... The real estate guy was kind of nice enough, and it was like a normal kind of discussion.
Mediation, wasn't
it? Yeah. It wasn't actually the court case. But then the second woman was intense, and I was there by myself.
Could have used someone.
Oh yeah, there, but with you mean all good. And
there was dark energy following me that day. I couldn't get to you.
No one let his dog in the
courtroom. Why was I not there? Why? That seems like something I would do.
Well, I think you were in Melbourne, maybe.
Sounds exciting. I think it was in March.
Chasing my dreams.
Or you were somewhere.
No, you would have been
there. Yeah, true. Yeah. I don't know. But she's at some point, I was like trying to say what I was saying. She goes, "You're shaking."
What?
Because I was like...
Yeah, it's nerve-wracking to be in court. I'm nervous. It doesn't mean I scratched the floor.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
You're shaking. And the same way you shook on the bed, moved the bed, and shook and scratched the floor.
I'm like, fucking hell, I'm just nervous. Like,
that's insane.
She was kind of implying that I was, like, unhinged because I was shaking.
Oh, these real estate scum.
I'm a lawyer.
And I'm still nervous. Yeah. You're all crazy. Like, she was just very intense. But, yeah, I think that beyond that, no connection to the place. That's still fun to drive past.
Yes, but I think I would do a lot of that as a ghost.
Yeah.
Because I like to do...
Places.
Yeah, I'm a big places person. Well, that's classic. I quite like going to places and I do a lot of research on places that I go to. And I think I would just like to visit places I've been to.
I think that's classic.
I like the nostalgia.
How it's changed, maybe, as
well. How it's changed, you know. Yeah,
but I think what's the same?
What's the same? What's changed? I think it's nice to get that sense of familiarity, even though you're not.
Yeah.
There, even if there's nothing else out of it, it's that kind of sense of
plus. I mean, a lot of hours in the day. You're talking about being a comedian. Imagine being a ghost. You've got nothing on.
Oh,
may as well go.
I mean, they would have a whole different relationship to time.
Can't go to the gym.
Eternity.
Yeah, can't go to the gym. You can go watch.
Well, that's. I'll probably pop into a few gyms I've been to.
I reckon I'd go to where the action was. No offense to these. I think I'd definitely love some grandkids.
Jamboree Recreation Park.
Yep, where you don't control the action because you're dead. You've got no...
What if you die? If you died on one of those toboggans, I don't know if you've been there, but you would fucking haunt that place.
Yeah.
They are unsafe. I've been on those.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that I'd try and go to, like, Parliament House, sit in with the PM, see the discussions. No, just see how it all works, you know what I mean?
Of course you would say that.
No, just see the power broker.
This guy's a loser.
See how the world works, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Celebrities, watch them have sex.
The White House.
Watch them have... Private conversation. Yeah. See what's all going on.
You go watch celebrities have sex.
Almost certainly.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
You serious? Although you wouldn't know the celebrities. That's the trouble.
Well, it depends how much time has passed. It'd be like if you die the next day.
It's 50 years.
You're in.
50? Yeah, I don't. Yeah, because if it was tomorrow and you could be a ghost in the real, like that's the real.
I'd be like, straight over there to
that's
someone.
That's why women. No, not just women, but
okay, often go on. Middle-aged go women. On.
What are we doing?
Where?
What
are you? So they read like OK Magazine and stuff, stay on top of the gossip, even though they're a bit older. You know, they're no longer in the kind of their 20s and not a lot of the famous people.
You want to know 20s. Who's fucking and who's sucking.
So when you die, you can go and watch
the
them.
The suckathon or whatever that devil
is. Exactly. I think, I'd want to die and then go watch people I know have sex.
But they're all old at that stage.
No, not old.
Still interesting.
Old people can still have rich sexual lives.
I know they can. Oh, my God. But do you want to watch it is the question.
No, I don't.
I don't want to watch. I was listening to people have sex in a hotel room recently and I was like, they were in the next one. I was like, this fucking sucks. Like, it wasn't exciting at all.
I could hear it. I've got where I live. It's like the balcony looks out and it just looks like trees, but there's actually the tram line there and it's kind of like a valley and then there's houses up on a hill. And it's like, I've called it, I don't know if it's like a whispering wall. Like, you know.
Oh, what? Sound travels
it's
really well.
It's a whispering wall
now
situation.
That's kind of like quite spiritual.
Yeah. But there was a guy sitting on his balcony and it's like in the distance and he was talking on his phone. I could hear every word.
Really?
Every
that's
word.
So
it just
sick.
Travels across the valley. And then I could,
you have to eavesdrop.
Hear people
what
having
he
sex.
No.
He was speaking like
from across
Portuguese
the valley.
Or something. Oh. Yeah, across the valley. I could hear it and it's just in there like they're fucking. And then there's also a woman who is like a singing teacher or something. So it's like every week I can hear like,
that's just her fucking.
That's her come noise.
But it's weird because it's like a pretty quiet area. It looks, if you look around, like it's just leafy and it's just residential. So it's pretty quiet. But when people are on the balcony talking, it's a whispering wall.
That's fun.
I love a whispering
wall. I like that. I just want info on how stuff's. But then I think maybe it would be frustrating if you found out, I just feel like being in those rooms, you'd find out how things worked and then you'd want to implement strategies.
Well, that's what Greta's doing.
But then you're...
And she's found a way to communicate.
Okay. So she's come back. She's found out stuff.
Yep.
It's like the way I make change is by being a spokesperson.
Yeah. Yeah.
Writing speeches, doing...
Do you reckon she is aware? Events? So because then there's like the idea of reincarnation and past lives and things like
no,
that.
No, I think
so
she's the
she
same
aware?
Person.
She
I think
goes,
she's aware,
she's
yeah.
tricking us all and she's like, I know I'm
how else do you get... Like a 15-year-old just starts travelling around the world on foot. Like how else do you know to do that if you're like...
Kids these days,
progressive
very
parents.
Entitled.
When I was 18, I couldn't get a train alone. She's just like, I'll sail to Indonesia. What are you talking about, Greta?
I think we need to drill down on you not being able to get a train when you're 18.
No, I'm just saying it's like... I wouldn't have been able to. I didn't know what was happening. And, you know, it was breath by breath.
I think she has parents who have kind of molding what she's saying.
Yeah, and they're very progressive and they're kind of radicals. And
I think they're like politics
no,
people.
I mean, I'm Team Greta, by the way. I just want, this is going down another. They're not radicals. They're not.
Yeah, no.
But
she's
I think they're kind of influencing her. Yeah. I think that's how it's happening. They're taking care. I don't think
she's
booking the flights
like,
or the. Or,
mate,
like,
she didn't fly because it was bad for the environment.
True. The docking thing, I don't think she's, you know, sending the emails. I feel like there's a...
She's not hiring the boat. She's not.
No, exactly. There's a team of ghosts behind her at the very least.
There's a lot of ghosts.
Yeah.
Should we... We've gone for quite a long time. We should probably wrap this up.
Yeah, what time is it?
Fair enough.
I'm exhausted.
Yeah, well, thank you for doing the podcast.
thank you.
We normally... you can plug something, I guess.
Do we want to...
Can I please... What?
Yeah.
I'm doing a live show for Sydney Comedy Festival with Conchetta Caristo. It's called Big Natural Talents, split bill comedy show. Please come. Not many people are coming. So
no, they'll
far.
Come. Don't you worry.
They better they come.
Push. I'll come. After this bun.
Thank you.
What night is it?
It's next the 6th, 8th, and 9th.
I'm there.
So
I'm literally already there. So I'll come.
All three nights.
No. Once will be enough.
No, it should be fine. It should be good. And we've got a podcast as well of the same name, Big Natural Talents.
Now, that's a good
same
idea.
Name. Isn't that funny? This is the
No, but I don't know. I'm worried it's confusing because people might think it's a live podcast, which it isn't. Like,
but
we're
who
gonna,
cares? Just like do a bit of chat
true.
Together, right?
Just
and
mean,
then just do some stand-up.
Yeah, that's
are
what
you
going to
come out together at the beginning?
I think so, yeah. Have a bit of a riff. Then we'll do some stand-up. And then at the end we might do something else together.
Be careful. With that, sometimes you try and be funny and then you get criticised afterwards for not riffing well enough and not being open enough with the riffs.
If I call
are you
her...
referring to me and you, Tom?
Yes, maybe.
Yes. Tom used to stifle the riff up there.
Bit of tension.
Number one rule of improv, yes, and Tom was like, no.
That's a lie.
He'd be like, oh, no, actually, HDMI cable.
Oh, my God, were you there, actually? You were there, it sounds like.
I also kept taking the microphone and the others didn't have a microphone.
Well, that's a
problem. Our voices were not amplified.
Yeah, that could be an issue.
I'm there being like, no.
We'll try to learn from your mistakes, boys.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say.
You're
going to
be great.
And
I'll pop along. Split bill's fine. You're a
you can.
Buddy.
You don't have to.
No, I'll be there because I'm doing my solo shows that week. And they're so lonely doing shows. You're in the behind the curtain alone.
It's so lonely. That was Melbourne. I was like, I've never been more alone.
Yeah, it's
life.
A lonely time.
Totally.
That's why you've got to see shows and organise to like have lots of lunches. And
yeah. Dinners. I didn't do that for the first half.
No,
of,
you
because like,
otherwise
week.
You just just won't talk. You talk to your tech and that's it.
Oh, my God. Thank you. I was like, am I the biggest loser in Melbourne? Because it was like 3 days. And I was like, I haven't spoken to anyone except for being on stage. And yeah. I was just hitting people that's up. Crazy. I was just messaging Wardy. I was like, can we do lunch or something? I actually haven't made any plans.
Mm. No, you've like that. I think that is such a big thing. Oh, that's what I remember when I first started doing shows. Crazy. Couldn't believe how lonely I was.
Mental health, bad. Anyway, on that note. A few dogs come in.
Oh, no. Woof, woof. Should we do it? Tom, anything to plug?
Um.